You're listening to TechNest,
the Prop Tech Podcast.
In each episode, you'll hear from prop tech founders, investors, and industry veterans on how they're using tech to change the way we buy, sell, and invest in real estate. Discover market opportunities, interesting data, growth tactics, and trends driving the industry forward. This isn't just another podcast about making money in real estate.
This is about how we live.
And now your host, Nate Smoyer.
All right, before we get into this week's episode, I have the briefest of sponsor type messaging that I've got to deliver here. Not really a sponsor, but more of a partner. Blueprint, it's back. September 17 to 19 at the Venetian in Vegas. This is the premier prop tech event. If you're raising money, building partnerships, looking to close some sales, or just trying to go deeper with people in the industry so that you can build your business and set it up for success in the following year, this is the place to be. Head over to technest.io, link at the top of the screen, says Blueprint Discount. You can save $300 when you register your ticket using my link on the TechNest website. I'm going to be there. A whole load of my friends are going to be there, and a whole bunch of people we haven't met yet. There was something like 2,200 people that attended last year. These are all industry veterans, operators, investors, and more. Blueprint's the place to be. Head over to technest.io. Use the link at the top of the screen. I'll see you there. Episode 200. Pretty amazing to me. We've done 200 episodes. This is not something that I ever thought I'd originally set out to do or achieve. And to some degree, it's a milestone. To another, it's just a number. It's no different to me than, for the most part, from 188 to 88 to 15, whatever. But pretty cool that of all the episodes, it's 100, at least 180, if not 190 some interviews of those 200 episodes. And so that means the show is literally not possible without all the other people who've been on the show. And that's greatly appreciated. And furthermore, not possible without continued encouragement. This is something that I'm sure any creator feels at times, where you feel doubt. Is this worthwhile? Is this paying off? Does this matter? And I've gotten a lot of benefits out of the podcast. Some of them financial, some of them social, some of them in business partnerships at companies that I'm working at, some of them just longtime friendships, and even to some degree mentorship I've gotten from people in the industry. And so I'm greatly appreciative of all those connections. And so I thought about, what should I do for episode 200? Should I make it a special deal or something? And every once in a while, I do these monologue type episodes. And I thought, why not? Let's do one of those. It kind of be a catch-all, a whole bunch of stuff here. So you're not going to get an interview on this one. You have to listen to me if you're going to listen to this. It's not going to be from anyone else. So I do apologize for hearing my voice a whole lot more than you typically would on a standard TechNest episode, but that's what it is. So I'm going to kick off with a handful of brief updates on me. And let's just start off with probably the biggest one that's relevant to the podcast, to the industry, and to me, which is my work situation. I am no longer with Roofer.com. I want to wish the company and everyone at Roofer.com the best moving forward, but it's best that I continue on a little bit of a different path here. And so that's what we're doing. I've got some stuff I want to talk about. I really do want to start pushing out there, but I'm holding back. I'm pulling back. I've got some details I want to iron out, but sure enough, soon enough, you will hear from me on what is next. And I will say that the support system that I have within the prop tech industry, because I do stick to it pretty tightly. You know, I know people in other industries, and I love to learn what's happening there and what they're doing. And I've got friends at the, you know, the big tech companies like the Googles and stuff like that. But really, the prop tech industry is where I lean into. It's where I invest my time and energy into. And also, I've gotten so much back for it. So I've had some encouraging words from some people that I really believe and you know, seek out their advice from. And so I'm going to try my best to follow some of that advice. So more to come on exactly what I've got planned next, but now you know at least that part of the update. Now, on to something a little bit more fun, maybe, is the... A lot of you know that I do some trail running. I did my first 100K back in January. For those who don't do the mileage to kilometer conversion very often, 100K equals roughly 62 miles. And I have really found a place in long distance ultra trail running. For anyone who's ever done it, then you kind of understand the crazy amounts of highs and lows, ebbs and flows, what feels good, what hurts, and somehow striking a balance. But I will tell you this. Anyone who does trail running is probably, especially ultra distance trail running, is probably cut out for startups. And I'm probably biased in saying that, but I'm going to tell you, being able to go 60 some miles, you have to plan your food accordingly. You have to plan for everything to go wrong. You have to think about your hydration. You know, you're managing your salt intake. There's your mental stability. You know, prior to this race, I had not done further than 34 and a half miles. That was my distance PR in one go. So this was quite a bit of a stretch over what I'd previously done, but I'm really glad to get that knocked out and not have to keep going back to that. And I think that anyone who's listening that is considering running, thinking about running, I will tell you that there are parallels in learning how to manage long distance endurance type races to being able to manage product or marketing or even overall managing a business. There are some incredible parallels. I think that you can learn something from each and apply to the other to make you better at those two respective things. Moving on from personal updates, as I already mentioned, this is episode 200, and I wanted to give a little bit of a brief kind of review or look into the show. So I use a pretty standardized form that I use to collect some information from each guest who comes on the show, and this helps ensure that I'm going to have an intelligent or at least borderline intelligent conversation with the guest. You know, when I started the show originally, it was part of like a sales funnel for my agency. I was trying to meet people in the industry. I wanted to find a way to deliver value, to earn the time from CEOs that I thought could become clients for my agency. But, you know, I really do, and this is why I ascribe pretty hard to product-led growth. I believe in asking or delivering value before asking for the sale. And so, you know, delivering a good podcast interview that they can use and promote or use to train internally or use to for whatever they wanted to use for. I thought that would be a really good trade-off. And since I no longer use it for immediate return on income, if you will, the motive to do it is to continue putting back into the industry. You know, I'm passionate about the progress in real estate with the use of technology and giving attention, especially to earlier stage startups. It's one of the areas I've really focused on. And if you follow the show for any amount of time, or even you just see my posts, maybe you don't listen to all the episodes, you've probably recognized that some of these startups you've never heard of before. They're relatively new. There's been startups on the show that have literally been incorporated for less than a month. And I take a lot of pride in that, being on the early stages of some of these companies' journeys and being able to tell their stories. And with that is a really fun part, because I get to hear what the business thesis is early. And then sometimes they later on go to pivot or to like further expand or even contract some of that vision. You know, one of the most striking ones is probably Arrived Homes. Arrived, you know, Ryan Fraser, CEO and co-founder over there. When they started Arrived, you as a renter, you got equity shares of a portfolio of investments. And so it was really like a property management play. And it sounds like a very hard route to go. And they've since shifted to allowing for fractional ownership into residential investment properties. But they've done it in a way that I think has been very successful for them, they've built a very powerful and strong and loyal brand in a very short amount of time. Very impressive to witness that evolution over time. And recently we had Pat Kinsell of Proof, formerly known as Notarize, on the show. And while they didn't exactly pivot, they've expanded the vision, going from just notarization to true ID verification and trust. and which goes, you know, as a step beyond notarization and digital signatures and that sort of thing. And it's really amazing to hear from Pat. And I, you know, I've, anytime you get a chance to listen to Pat talk about his business and his philosophy. And there was actually, I can't remember the app. For some reason, it's escaping me. It was that app that we were all on during the pandemic. That was just like a voice only app. We would all log into different chat rooms essentially and listen to each other pontificate on different topics and have our mini conferences. And I remember I was in one of those with Pat, and Pat was talking about, and it was hosted by Housing Wire with Clayton. And, you know, he was just talking about sometimes you just can't force the change. You know, sometimes you just have to wait it out. And I think he's a good evidence of that proof, if you will, of that happening. Now, many of these companies that have been on the show have gone on to raise a lot of money after being on the show. And, you know, I have nothing to do with that. I'd love to tell you that coming on TechNest is going to ensure that you get your Series A or your B or whatever. It does seem awfully coincidental. I'm just going to say that. I'm not, you know, whatever. You can draw your own conclusions, but it's literally in the billions. You know, shows that, you know, our companies have been on the show, they've raised billions in capital. And that I find to be just awesome to have a small stake in that story, to have a, and when I say small, I mean like a few hundred bucks small, but it's fun to see how these companies grow up and how they evolve. And some of them even go as far as to getting acquired. Examples would be like Avail. Of course, that's a startup that I was at when we were acquired. Lion Desk, a CRM for the residential real estate, Estated, Compound, Dash CMA, Homebase, Gabby AI, Reonomy. These are all companies that have been on the show and have gone on to become acquired into other companies. And that's very cool and exciting to see. And it's one of the things that reasons why I love having earlier stage startups on the show, because we get to talk about the interesting ideas or interesting thesis in business and what they're doing differently and how they're working to change things. And, you know, I got a phone call coming in. You'd think I would have silenced my phone. And we're going to go ahead and silence that. It's the same wholesaler who keeps calling me about a property. So it's exciting to be early on those stages. Now, some of course, I also have a list, and I do keep a database of everyone who's been on the show and regularly to some degree update like funding status and series status and if they're even active or not. And, you know, there's a good list, and I'm not going to go down the list of who's been shut down, but some of the prop techs have shut down, and I take away a lesson from that. And that's in prop tech. This is a very challenging, real estate's a very challenging industry to be in. And we've gone through some very challenging swings in ways it's not normal. Real estate's not supposed to swing like this. Real estate should not fluctuate in value at high percentages. You know, you could usually safely bet 3-5% annual appreciation. And we've come to expect greater than that, but we've also seen some markets even pull back and having negative appreciation as an overall or average. And I think what this is emphasizing now is that prop tech has kind of been evolving from just a whole bunch of ideas and point solutions and some people going after the platforms and to, hey, you've really got to build a sustainable business here. That's not new. This is not a new point from anybody, right? You've heard me talk about this, but you've heard a ton of other people talking about the last 2 years, you know, the theme or ongoing theme of money is getting tougher to get to keep your startup alive. You know, going round from round, assuming a 10x valuation, larger rounds to really like almost in a way blitz scale your growth. Not saying that every company that has shut down has been a growth at all costs company. Certainly some, I think, were taking a conservative approach and maybe didn't grow fast enough to force their market appreciation. And that can be very tough when you're faced with, hey, we're not sure what's going to happen in the market, but we've got to keep growing. We've got to do something here to make things work out for us moving forward. And the real lesson here is that, you know, those that are able to maintain flat or even go up are going to have a shot. Those that have a compelling case in a growing market that isn't dependent on highly speculative valuations are going to go up. Those that are still transactionally based or heavily influenced by the number of transactions annually are going to struggle. You know, the market assumptions have changed. The market dynamics have changed. And there does not seem to be indications that they're going to let up for at least the next year or two. And that's really hard to forecast beyond that right now, because real estate isn't as predictable. It's not as safe. Maybe it's as safe. That's maybe a bit harsh of a word to use there to say that it's not as safe. But there's been wild swings here. I think those that hold on and find ways to thrive, they're going to have the wins. They're going to be the ones that we see rise to the top. And I said this 2 years ago at Blueprint, maybe more closer to a year and a half at Blueprint. I do think we're at a point now where some of the ideas that don't really have anything to hold on to, they don't add value to traditional organizations or real estate companies. They don't really push the needle within property management companies or asset managers. And I think those are the ones that fall to the side. And it sucks for those founders and that company, but it's good for the overall industry. We're proving out some ideas. We're proving out some ways of doing things. We have found more efficient ways to buy homes, for better or for worse. And there's a whole argument to have there about the upside of removing friction and the downside of removing friction, especially within residential real estate. There's better search tools. Data has come a long way, and our ability to leverage data. You know, I just wrapped up an interview with Vince Hotter at Local Logic discussing ways in which we can use data. And of course, there's the topic of the year and will be for some time, AI, and how many startups are leveraging AI. You know, my prognostication here, if you will, is that a business that's totally centered around being an AI business, unless you're truly doing something that is out of the ordinary, but if it's just a point solution, like an AI chat widget, I think you're going to have a tough time. If it's just a back office solution, I think you're going to have a tough time. There's all sorts of different ways to slice and dice the market here. And there's one category that I also think is going to be particularly challenged, and that's the service-based. Service-based startups have this challenge of, you know, local employees, localized systems, and the idea of centralizing back offices. And this can be done. PE shops have been buying up and rolling up brands for a long time. This is nothing new. But when you're building your own tech in combination with that, that's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole separate company. It's just like anytime we had a conversation with an IoT company where they have to have a hardware production and a software production. Two very different companies, very different approaches to product, very different approaches to shipping, very different approaches to, you know, the overall go-to-market. And this can be particularly challenging. And we've seen a ton of funding. Now, the biggest area that's probably most prevalent in people's minds is the tech-enabled property management companies. Think like Renters Warehouse, which was a company also acquired. You have Poplar Homes, Pure, right? There's a handful of those. And some of them I think are doing better than others. And I'm not here to comment on which one specifically here, but the point is it's going to be a challenge. And it sounds good on the surface, right? Centralize the back office, automations, high-tech collaborations and tools. The reality is the upfront cost of that software and upkeep is very high. And if it doesn't make the service business produce more, similar to like a SaaS or venture-backed SaaS business, then it's really hard to justify those SaaS-level valuations and the overall value of that business like you typically would a venture-backed business. These are all some of the things that we're talking about on the show. And so if you're not listening on a weekly basis, I'd encourage you. Technest.io is the website you can go and get on the email list. You can always go to Apple or Spotify, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And be sure to subscribe, because I do think that some of the conversations we have lined up, and I'm going to talk about some of the guests we've got lined up on the show. I'm always amazed at some of the companies that we're going to have an opportunity to speak with coming up. All right, let's shift gears here quickly. I want to talk about events. We're a few months into the year, and there's some big events coming up this year. And if you haven't ironed out your event strategy whether for biz dev, whether for fundraising, whether for new customers, I'd encourage you to make some changes. You're going to want to change some of the events you're going to this year. PropTech is alive and well. The event scene is the evidence of that. I literally couldn't be more excited about this. This is going to be some of the stuff that drives the excitement. It drives the awareness, and it's going to push the industry forward. And I'm telling you, if you're sitting on the sidelines, you're not in the room, you are missing out. There is so much happening in the hallways. You can make arguments for inside the sessions when you're actually at the conference. But there is so much happening in the hallways, and I want you to be a part of it. So I'm going to call out a few of the events coming up here. I'm going to also shout out Drew Myers for his handy dandy events page inside of Geek Estate. We'll talk about Geek Estate in a little bit here coming up. Let's see. The first one I'll call out, you got Inman Connect Miami. That's in May. So if you're in the residential real estate space, that very well could be a big one for you to check out. In June, we've got the Housing Innovation Summit. So this one is with the Housing Innovation Alliance and University of Denver on the Denver University campus. We've got 2024 MIT World Real Estate Forum. So let's see here. I could just add some details on this. MIT Center for Real Estate has assembled a combination of industry leaders, innovators, and researchers to examine topics and offer real solutions to challenges facing the real estate industry. So if you're looking at things like a high level, right? That's probably something to consider. The 1,000 Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, very exciting. I've got Brian Burrow coming on the show here in a few weeks. And the Brand and Marketing Summit is June 25th. It's in Dallas. It might be sold out. I don't remember if it's not, if it actually sold out or not, but that's definitely one to keep up or to pay attention to. If you're interested in branding and in marketing, especially in that residential real estate space, they are leaders. They are true leaders in the space and someone to follow. Of course, you have IOI, which is in Chicago. This is the 6th annual Innovation Opportunity Investment Summit. Last year, over 700 prop tech leaders and people that would self-describe as futurists went. Of course, I cannot get through an episode without talking about Blueprint. Blueprint for me has just been a dynamite event every year, year after year. Of course, go to technest.io, top level navigation. You can get your Blueprint discount. I believe it's a $300 discount off your ticket. So if you use my link, you get $300 off the ticket. Very worthwhile to go to that. If you have any questions about the event, hit me up. I don't get paid for plugging that. And all these events, I don't get paid for plugging any of these. I plug these because I'm so pumped about the collaboration that happens there and what's possible. This is really where the stuff happens. I want anyone who's listening to the show I want you to be there. Inman Connect Austin 2024, NAR NXT 2024 is in November. And then, of course, Cretech New York, hosted by the Cretech team, Michael Beckerman. That's going to be in November 13th. So a ton of events to put on your calendar for this year. You've got traditional organizations like NARPM and NAR. They have kind of like other events throughout the year. And of course, NMHC, the more specialized you want to get, you go down those paths with some of those associations, which is a great source for finding some of those. Now I want to shift and talk a little bit about Geek Estate. Geek Estate Mastermind, run by Drew Myers, former Zillow, startup founder himself. And recently, about 25 of us, prop tech leaders, founders, investors, and operators, we escaped to Bend, Oregon, and spent several days at Juniper Preserve Resort. And we did a handful of things. We had workshops. So we had structured time where we were working through some operations, talking through mergers, acquisitions, talking through company setups, legal issues, funding issues, the stuff that kind of gets avoided on the main stage and conference stages. We really got a chance to hear multiple perspectives, a little bit of friendly debate on some of those things, and then sidebars, lots of sidebars throughout the day. We also did some fun stuff. We explored the lava tubes that are underground there, some games of Jenga and Catan, lots of bonding, and really were able to delve deeper into people's expertise, knowledge, and experience. It was an experience that definitely outpaces most conferences for me. Now, for me, I went ahead and made everything more difficult. I decided to ride my motorcycle from South Dakota to Oregon. So literally the morning I left, the first like hour and a half of the day was in the 20s. You know, I spent hours each day in sub-freezing temperatures on my motorcycle to and from Oregon. In total, I did about 42 hours on the road, ride my motorcycle. I hit everything from freezing fog, rain, freezing rain, snow, high winds, and but the journey was very much worth it to be able to go to events like this and other Geek Estate events. So for instance, at Blueprint, there is a dinner gathering reserved for Geek Estate members. You have to be a member of the Geek Estate Mastermind. It's very much worth your while. It doesn't cost a lot of money on an annual basis. You get invited and get a chance to participate in these more intimate setting events. Oftentimes are set up around other conferences or in tandem to other conferences. So you're already going to be there, but you get in a room with high caliber people from the industry, people who have sold companies or building their second or third. You know, they're in the process of building their first in the early stage, but they've got incredible traction. People who are legacy in this industry. I don't know how I make the cut. I think maybe Drew takes a little pity on me and lets me tag along here. But I tell you, some of the best conversations and collaborations I've been able to have in those dinners. And, you know, I'm not encouraging you to say, hey, Nate, can I pick your brain on something? Because personally, I really do not like that phrase. But if you ever want to pick my brain on stuff at those events, I'm open. It's an open door, if you will, open office hours type policy that I run on that. And I'm always looking to have those conversations. Wrap up here. What to expect from TechNest moving forward? Well, more interviews. I'm going to read a list of companies that we've got coming up on the show. We've got Real Reports, Zach Gorman, Property Meld, Ray Hespin, Rentable with Connor Brennan, Neighbor.com, Joseph Woodbury, Amenify, Everett Lynn, Local Logic, Vince Hodder. We've got New Silver with Krill Bensenhoff. Sorry if I said your name wrong there. I do apologize. Brian Burrow of 1000 Watts. We got Bone Lays from Lula, Stephen Capezza from Side, Ned Murphy from Level M, Chet Kittleson from Far Homes, Thomas Garcia from ARX. We've got Lear Ombrovich from Blanket. There are some killer companies in this mix here. And I think that being sure that you're on the list to the newsletter, but also subscribed in podcast channels so you don't miss these. These are all scheduled out. Some of these are already recorded and just waiting to get published. So we already have 7 episodes already recorded, just need editing and publishing. And so a lot more coming from that. With a little bit of some capacity having been opened up, you can expect more on the newsletter from me. If you've subscribed to the newsletter previously, then you've probably seen some of the articles, or hopefully you've been able to open up some of the articles that I've published. If you want to see them, and maybe you've missed them, first go to technest.io. That's where you can subscribe. You can use the form on the site. You can also go to technest.beehive, HIIV.com. Of course, I'll put this in the show notes. And you can go there directly. I use Beehive for my newsletter. I've got articles in here that they're aimed at solving real marketing issues. And I get down into the tactics. This is stuff that I put to use when I run marketing teams. This is not hypotheticals. This is not maybe it could be kind of, is sort of like, this is the stuff that I've done that has driven success at every single company I've ever been at. I take the lessons from my early years all the way up to running the entire marketing departments and reporting to CEOs. This is the stuff that genuinely can make or break a startup or make or break a business. You know, product and sales sometimes can only get the business so far, especially if you have to accelerate the rate of growth. That's the kind of thing that I've been a part of, that I enjoy doing. And I've wanted to download the things that have gone through my head that I've used on my teams for use, for other people to understand and get, you know, a little bit of a look behind the curtain, if you will. So simple things like building your press page, to systemizing your hiring process, tuning your marketing mix, of course, interesting topics that maybe your marketing lead hasn't talked to you about, like news jacking, data content, demand capture versus demand generation. We cover a lot in these newsletters, all written by me, all the interesting artwork that is accompanying the articles is done by me. And so hopefully you'll find a lot of value in these articles. So take a look, go to technesta.io. And of course, at any time, you can always reach me, nate@realteampanda.com. Shoot me an email. Social media, I'm just Nate Moyer. Very easy to find me, very easy to connect. If I ever don't respond to you on social media, understand it's because I do generally get a lot of spam in my inboxes on social media, and it's very difficult to manage those inboxes. I still have not ironed out a way. If you figured that out, tell me. I want to know your tips and tricks because I have not been able to figure that out. Email is a much different story for me, but you can always hit me up. I do appreciate you guys' support, everyone's support. Anyone who's ever said, great job, great interview, even good job. Anyone who's ever come on the show, shared an episode, subscribed, left a review, even that one person who keeps liking to leave negative reviews for me in the Apple store. I appreciate you. Thank you. Appreciate everyone. And hopefully you'll continue to get value out of this podcast and we'll make a few more episodes. I'm going to wrap it there. That's 30 minutes of Nate Moyer talking nonstop. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to TechNest, the Prop Tech Podcast. Find all the links and resources mentioned in this episode on technest.io. You can get future episodes delivered to your ears directly by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other major podcast apps.
Follow TechNest on social media to stay up to speed on new developments, resources, and announcements in PropTech.
Your support is greatly appreciated. There's two ways you can directly support this podcast. Share episodes you find interesting, and then leave a review of the show in the App Store.
From Nate and the TechNest team, thanks for listening.